December 17, 2024, to order. Clerk Fuentes, please call the roll.
Thank you so much, Council President. Council President Pro Tem McCaffrey. Councilmember Campbell. Councilmember Whitburn.
Here.
Councilmember Foster.
Here.
Councilmember Von Wilper.
Present.
Councilmember Lee.
Here.
Councilmember Campillo.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Present.
Council President Ela Rivera.
Present.
Also attending the meeting are City Attorney Mara Elliott, Independent Budget Analyst Charles Monica, Council Affairs Advisor in the Mayor's Office, Code Advisor, and myself, your City Clerk, Deanna Fuentes.
All right, thank you, Clerk Fuentes. Let's begin with a land acknowledgement and Pledge of Allegiance led by Councilmember Whitburn.
Thank you, Council President. If we could please rise for the land acknowledgement. We respectfully acknowledge that the Kumeyaay Nation are the original inhabitants of the unceded land now known as San Diego. Despite enduring the horrors of genocide and colonization, the Kumeyaay spirit remains unbroken. We honor the resilience of their ancestors who fought to protect their culture and land. Today, they carry their legacy forward, ensuring that their traditions continue to thrive in gratitude and strength. We stand with the Kumeyaay Nation, connected to our past and committed to a thriving future. Now for the Pledge of Allegiance, if everybody would please face the flag, place your hand over your heart, ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll now go over how the public can offer their public testimony during today's meeting. If you are in person, please come see the speaker slip located at the entrance of chambers and place it on top of the box indicated at the high lectern at the front of the room. Please submit your speaker slip in a timely manner to ensure proper meeting management. Council ambassadors are available near the entrance of chambers and can assist with questions and speaker slips. No further in-person testimony will be taken once the council begins virtual testimony. If you would like to participate virtually, you can do so via the webinar information found on the agenda cover page. Members of the public who wish to provide virtual testimony must enter the virtual queue by raising their hand by either dialing *9 or pressing the raise your hand icon before the queue closes. The queue will close when the last virtual speaker finishes speaking or 5 minutes after in-person testimony ends, whichever occurs first. For meeting management, during the proclamations and consent portions of the agenda, speakers will have 1 minute per item and up to a maximum of 3 minutes if there are three or more items in that portion of the agenda. For purposes of today's meeting, the order of business is anticipated to be as follows, and you can see this on the slide to be shown. Proclamations and consent items, items pulled from the consent agenda, if any, and then the discussion items this morning will be item S-505, item S-506, followed by non-agenda public comment. And at the 2 p.m. council meeting session, the items will be taken in the following order. Housing Authority minutes, Housing Authority non-agenda public comment, Housing Authority item 1, which is an informational item, item S-500, which is also an informational item, item 330, and item 331. Thank you, Council President.
All right, thank you, Clerk. Once again, just to reiterate what the clerk said, we will be making a change in the order of events, taking proclamations first, then proceeding with the consent agenda. We've got a quorum, and let's now dispense with the approval of proclamation items. Clerk, if you would please move to public comment.
Thank you. The public comment for proclamations item is now open. Each speaker will have 1 minute per item per person. If you would like to speak on three or more items, you will have a maximum of 3 minutes. We have Joyce Zanata here in council chambers with item 30. The proclamation items being approved are items 30 through 32, S-501 and S-502. Please proceed.
Thank you, City Clerk Fuentes. Thank you and blessings to Mayor Gloria. Thank you and blessings to Council Member Campillo and his wife, Nadia. Thank you, Assemblyman Chris Ward, United Against Hate Crimes. From article by Daniel Burke of CNN, and I quote, "Behind every hate crime is a message. You are not welcome here. Behind every strong community is another. Yes, you are." End of quote. And I want to give a shout out and a thank you to Blair Beekman in his words on peace to all of us. Love to all.
Thank you. I've set the 5-minute timer here in council chambers going to those participating remotely, starting with Lori Saldana. If you can please unmute and let me know which item or items you wish to speak to.
Yes, thank you. I would like to speak regarding items 30 and 501 and 502.
You'll have 3 minutes. Please proceed.
Thank you. It's interesting, United Against Hate Week 2024. I think a week is insufficient. As an assembly member, I actually formed an organization called United for a Hate-Free San Diego. We met often to address, at the time, what was a growing tide of resentment, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ actions in the community and San Diego at large. And we found that it was needed a lot more attention than we were able to do as United for Hate-Free San Diego. Although we did our best for a few years, including having speakers from the Southern Poverty Law Center talk about San Diego's very sad history of white nationalism and racism. And so while I see the value of this, it's unfortunate it's only 1 week because it is definitely a full-time necessary pursuit. Regarding Olympians Day, San Diego has a proud history of athletics. We have an Olympic Training Center, or it used to be an Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, adjacent to San Diego. And we have a wonderful climate where people come from around the world to train and participate in sports at the highest level. So recognizing San Diego and the people who live here, who train here, who study here, the student athletes, all of their achievements, who then go on to compete internationally at the Olympics and in other venues, that's an important thing to recognize. They have to put up with a very expensive place to live. They're fortunate, some of them, to get sponsors to be able to achieve their goals. But San Diego does make it challenging for them in many, many ways. And then finally, regarding the annual Coastal Cleanup Day. Cleaning up the beaches has been something that volunteers have taken on for decades. They often record what they find, and it makes a policy difference. For a long time, they were finding plastic straws and cigarette butts. And as a result, there were efforts to change the laws to require doing away with plastic straws and to ban smoking on public beaches. So these are more than just volunteer pursuits. They impact policy. And so I want to just congratulate all of the volunteers who will be out there participating in the cleanup. Thank you for collecting evidence to show what policy changes need to be done. And I congratulate your efforts, and I'm very thankful that people are willing to give up that time and promote that.
Thank you for that concluding remark. Next, we have the original. If you can please unmute and let me know which item or items you wish to speak to.
Yes, I'm going to do 32S501 and S502.
Thank you. I'll have 3 minutes. Please proceed.
Thank you. So for this United Against Hate, I think it's important that if we're going to be having a proclamation like that, that we don't continue to, go down the same path, because there is discrimination, there's non-inclusiveness, there's a lot of things that are happening across the board where it's creating division and hate between the people and the communities. And that's what's so sad, is we shouldn't be hating each other for things. It's like when you bring forward the reparations, there's people who believe that, everybody should be paying for, things that they've never engaged in, and it's causing more division and more hate. And it's through that, by saying that somebody is needs to be paying for that kind of stuff, because somebody else who didn't suffer, but it could have been their own families. It's just, we need to stop kind of doing that same kind of stuff if we're going to be saying we're united against hate. The Jose Enrique Ricky Durande, I actually think this is some that is good, because it's doing something for somebody who's from Mexico that came and has worked and made something of himself, whereas with the invasion, we have all these people coming across illegally and, you know, trying to, when they're getting all of these services and everything. I think it's important to acknowledge people who come legally and do it the right way, and make sure that that's something that is, you know, encouraged, as opposed to encouraging people to come illegally, because it does keep people from who want to come the legal way and you know, from being able to do so. And this person has been able to make quite a name for himself. And so I think that that's just interesting. And then the Olympians Day, you know, it's kind of sad to see what was happening in the Olympics. We're having men beating women, and it's very disturbing to see what's going on in that. And I think that it's important to, you know, make sure that we're not encouraging the beating of women by men who think that they can dress up as a woman, and it gives them the right to beat women. For the 40th annual Coastal Cleanup Day, I think that I'm wondering, with this nonprofit, if they're actually getting paid to do this, if that's why they are encouraged to do this cleanup. And if so, how much money is going to this nonprofit in order to facilitate this cleaning? Because I think that if we have volunteers, it should just be a volunteer thing. We shouldn't be giving a bunch of money to a nonprofit to do whatever cleanup that is. So, yeah, we just need to be mindful of what we're doing, because a lot of times this is, you know, perpetuating all the problems. Anyway, that's it.
Thank you. Kathleen Lippitt, your final speaker. The 5-minute timer has concluded. If you can please unmute and let me know which item or items you wish to speak to.
Thank you. I'd like to speak to item 30 and 31.
Thank you. You'll have 2 minutes. Please proceed.
Thank you. With respect, it would be greatly appreciated if all city agenda items were titled and summarized to inform specifically, so that the public can respond if it is something of importance to them. Using vague or subjective language is not useful to anybody, and it leaves open interpretation by those that may not be objective themselves. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude public comment on the proclamation items. I will note for the record that we did not receive any comments for the proclamation items via our e-comment form.
All right, with that, we will entertain a motion to approve the proclamation items and welcome any comments. I will go ahead and turn to Councilmember Bundle.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to make the motion to approve all proclamation items. Thank you to my colleagues, as always, for bringing forth fantastic proclamations. I have a few comments on item 30, United Against Hate Week. Thank you to my colleagues and the mayor for bringing this forward. We've unfortunately seen an uptick in hate crimes this year, and in particular recently against the LGBTQ community. Luckily there was an arrest made of somebody who was driving around the Hillcrest area shooting at people with pellet guns. One victim was actually shot twice in two separate incidents, and he's really struggling with that. So I want to thank my colleagues for working towards being a city where we are free of hate, and we are here to be unified and to welcome and love in an environment for all people. And on item 32, Jose Enrique Ricky Duran Day, I am very proud to celebrate this day. Working in parks and recreation for over 40 years is truly wonderful and impressive gift to our city. Thank you for your public service and serving the residents and youth of San Diego. I wish you luck and fun in your retirement. Item S501, San Diego Olympians Day. I will let my colleagues who brought this forth dig in more, but I really want to thank everybody from District 5 in particular who went to the Olympics and followed their dreams, including fellow Falcon, Xander Shoffley from Scripps Ranch High School. And item S502, 40th Annual Coastal Cleanup Day. Thank you to Council President Pro Tem LaCava, everyone who's going to participate in a Coastal Cleanup Day, including our other coastal member, Dr. Jennifer Campbell. I Love a Clean San Diego for the past 70 years has led the charge of protecting the environment in our community, and we're proud to support. So I'll move the proclamations.
All right, thank you, Councilmember Von Wilper. We've got a motion to approve our proclamation items, and we'll now turn to Councilmember Moreno.
Thank you. Item number 32 is a proclamation declaring September 17th, 2024 to be Mr. Jose Enrique Ricky Durande in the city of San Diego. I'm so proud to sponsor this proclamation. Mr. Duran has made a remarkable contributions to our community and also to youth sports. Mr. Duran grew up in Tijuana and later in San Isidro, where he developed a deep passion for playing soccer and baseball with neighborhood friends. Mr. Duran graduated from Mar Vista High School and earned his bachelor's degree at San Diego State University. After college, he began a career with the City of San Diego's Park and Recreation Department, beginning in the summer of 1970. Throughout his nearly 40-year tenure with the city, Mr. Duran demonstrated exceptional dedication as a recreation leader and district manager, successfully providing enriching programs for youth despite numerous funding challenges. Even with all this work, Mr. Duran found time to be a dedicated father and husband. He married Carmen Cordova in 1977, and together they raised three children. Despite his busy schedule, Mr. Duran continued to coach youth soccer, achieving numerous championships. Recognizing the need for affordable and competitive soccer opportunities, he took significant steps to address this need. In 1994, Mr. Duran transitioned from managing a team to founding the South Bay Aguila Soccer Club, which started with eight teams. His vision was to offer children from low-income communities access to soccer leagues and tournaments, emphasizing teamwork, fundamental skills, and also sportsmanship. Under Mr. Duran's leadership, the club flourished. By 2010, it evolved into Atlanta San Diego FC through a partnership with professional Mexican soccer teams, expanding to 55 teams and serving boys and girls ages 6 through 18. Additionally, he was an active member of the San Isidro Recreation Committee, the San Isidro Chamber of Commerce, and numerous other city committees. In the soccer community, he served as a board member and president for local leagues and continues to contribute to SoCal Soccer. Even in the face of health concerns, Mr. Duran remains dedicated, preparing fields at dawn, creating game schedules, and offering his expertise to fellow members. Muchas gracias, señor Duran, por su dedicación, no nomás en la ciudad de San Diego, trabajando aquí en San Diego, pero la ciudad de todo San Diego, y también enfocado con los jóvenes. Muchas gracias por dar su tiempo, el tiempo de su familia, a dedicar tanto amor y tanta paciencia a nuestros jóvenes de San Diego. So, congratulations, Mr. Duran, and thank you for your extraordinary service, your inspirational leadership, and the profound impact you've had on countless young lives through your dedication for soccer and the people of San Diego. That concludes my comments, Council President. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Moreno. Can we count that as a second?
Yes, thank you.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Madam City Attorney, I see that you requested your comments.
On item 30, that can wait. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we'll move to Councilmember Whitmer.
Thank you, Council President. And I would just say it was really nice to hear about the impressive accomplishments and contributions of Mr. Duran. And it's very nice to have you in chambers. Congratulations on your recognition. And congratulations and thank you to all of the recipients of proclamations today. I also want to thank the Council President for bringing forward San Diego Olympians Day. I'm sure you'll have more to say about that. But I, too, want to congratulate all of San Diego's Olympians. They really made our city proud this summer. On item 30, I want to thank Mayor Gloria and Councilmember Campillo for bringing forward the proclamation recognizing United Against Hate Week. Let us remember that San Diego is a city that is known nationally and internationally for its diversity, and it is our duty to ensure that this remains a city where people of all backgrounds and identities and beliefs are welcomed and are safe and feel safe. We recently have seen an increase in hate crimes. In my own district, we've seen targeted attacks on our LGBTQ+ community and businesses. this has no place in San Diego, whether it's racism or anti-LGBTQ plus bigotry or anti-Semitism or xenophobia, any other form of hate. We stand united in rejecting it, and we need to remain committed to speaking out and educating ourselves and supporting those who have been targeted by hate. And I hope that we all take an opportunity to use this proclamation and declaration to recommit to those actions to fight against hate. Thank you, Council President.
All right, thank you, Councilor Woodburn. Madam City Attorney, we'll turn to you now.
Thank you, Council President. I appreciate what Council Member Woodburn just said. Like, hate has no place in our society, and I don't know if everybody's watching the crime statistics. San Diego is doing very well in many categories, but hate is not one of them. San Diego reported a rise of 39% over the last year, and that's something that's very concerning. I think sometimes it's forgotten too that the city attorney's office is the city's prosecutor, and we address misdemeanors in the city of San Diego. And a priority for us is fighting hate crimes because it does not belong here, and we've taken that obligation very seriously. And we have an excellent track record, so I want to invite the community to report if they see something. They need to say something. It will never get to our desk, and we'll never consider it for prosecution if we don't know about the case. So if you see something, the first thing you do is you call the police department and report it. That report gets a process started. They do an investigation, they work the case up, and they refer it to our office for review. And if we can meet our burden of proving beyond a reasonable doubt that a hate crime occurred, we will prosecute that. And I know that our district attorney is equally committed to that. These are priorities for both of our offices. I wanted to also call out Deputy City Attorney Daniel Orlock for the work he did in helping Assembly Member Chris Ward drafting a bill. And this started with our own council member, Raul Campillo, who identified the need to address this legislatively. The anti-hate littering bill, which is so important, and it's on the governor's desk right now. So I would urge everybody to give him a call and let him know that this is an important issue for our community. We put the resources into this because it matters. Everybody should feel safe in their city and not be targeted because of who they are. So again, an important movement. I thank Mayor Gloria and I thank Council Member Campillo for bringing this forward. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you, Madam City Attorney. Council Member Lee.
Thank you, Council President. First off, I want to follow up on item 30 as well and thank the mayor as well as Council Member Campillo for bringing United Against Hate Week as a proclamation. I think we all recognize that hate unfortunately takes many forms and impacts numerous communities, and certainly appreciate that this council is willing to both educate and advocate for folks to be aware. I think the city attorney's comments in terms of reporting is really critical. This council passed a resolution several years ago when I was a community member advocating for it, specifically relating to anti-Asian hate during the COVID pandemic. And one of the biggest challenges we recognized was how for many communities who have dealt with hate, reporting it, sharing it, speaking up about it has been a challenge, not something they've been used to. So for every statistic that we often see, it means that there are countless numbers of others who are impacted, who we don't hear, see, and certainly the encouragement to report any incidents, whether it's affecting you or someone that you know or someone that you witness, can be impactful in how we move forward in addressing it as a community. So thank you again for bringing this item forward. I also want to speak to item S501 for San Diego Olympians Day, and thank my colleagues and the Council President certainly for bringing forward this proclamation recognizing our Olympians, some of whom are here today and who have worked so hard to represent Team USA. Some have ties specifically to District 6, and so wanted to take a moment to shout them out. I think Councilmember Von Wolper and I certainly share some Olympians who have a tie to Swift Ranch. Jennifer Valente from Swift Ranch, who competed in track cycling, women's team pursuit, and women's omnium, taking home 2 gold medals. Xander Chaffalet, who we recognized with a proclamation recently, from Swift Ranch High School, who competed in men's golf. And again, we just celebrated with a proclamation. Congratulations to Sarah Levy from University City High School, who competed in women's rugby and also took home a medal. Sarah has a unique tie with one of my staffers, Dustin Nguyen, who was actually classmates with her at University City High. And he wanted to note that he was especially proud to say that he shared a biology class with a Paris 2024 Olympic medalist. And of course, congratulations to the women's national soccer team, with a shout out to Jaden Shaw, the first ever Vietnamese American to represent on the women's national team, and who we're certainly proud to have represent the Vietnamese community in the sport of soccer, and who also brought home the gold medal. Again, congratulations to all the Olympians representing Canada, and we hope to see many return, perhaps in LA for 2028. That concludes my comments, Council President.
Thank you, Council Member Lee. Council Member Foster.
Yes, thank you, Council President. And thank you to all of my colleagues for bringing these items forward, and to all of the recipients that are noted and honored. I'd like to comment on item 30 specifically. I want to thank the mayor and Councilmember Campillo for bringing forward the United Against Hate Week proclamation. As mentioned, according to SANDAG, hate crimes in San Diego increased by 39% in 2023. And 49 African Americans have experienced hate crimes within the city of San Diego between 2020 and 2024. Despite the rising statistics, we must remain united and do everything we can to fight hate as a community. Dr. King once said, "The supreme task is to organize and unite people so that their anger becomes a transforming force." What a powerful message in today's climate. With that, I would like to thank the organizers of the San Diego Hate Coalition, Abigail and Alicia, for their work and everything that you do. I also want to thank the San Diego Voice and Viewpoint for hosting the many forums and keeping information on this topic accessible to the communities and in the forefront that really need to be updated on a regular basis as we see this uptick. I'd just like to close so that everyone knows in our good District 4, we stand together and united against hate. So thank you again for this proclamation.
Thank you, Council Member Foster. All right, I will express my appreciation to my colleagues for bringing forward the proclamations that you have. Councilmember Campillo, thank you for working with the mayor to bring forward United Against Hate Week. Nothing against 92124 Day. United Against Hate Week, want to make sure I shouted that one out. Councilmember Moreno, thank you for highlighting the incredible contributions of Mr. Duran. Thank you for everything you've done for San Diegans. And then Council President Pro Tem's work on coastal cleanup day. I will take a few extra moments here to express my appreciation to the Olympians who hail from San Diego. I don't think I'm alone in this. I'm almost certain that I'm not. The Olympics this past summer, I think, were an incredible opportunity for us to feel a way that we haven't felt in a long time, and that is united in a singular cause as a country, and that is you know, seeing American athletes excel in pursuit of excellence that they put a lifetime of work into attempting to achieve. Those moments that we were able to watch on TV were the byproduct of countless hours of work, of not just work, but sometimes heartbreak, certainly many challenges, and is also the result of almost always a community behind those athletes that helped them get to where they're at. And so today is an opportunity for us as a city to say thank you for the work that those Olympians did to get where they were, for making us not just proud over the summer, but again, helping unite us. It is something that I was really appreciative of. And I had multiple conversations with people who talked about how much they enjoyed those couple weeks and being able to turn on the TV and watch Americans excelling. And again, in a time where there's a lot of division and it's difficult to agree on a lot of things, there was a lot of agreement in our one, appreciation and appreciation for athletes, the inspiration that we found in them, and in wanting to see them excel. So thank you to our Olympians, our San Diego Olympians, for everything that you did to get where you were and for everything you've done to inspire us. And I know undoubtedly another generation of incredible athletes as well. So We have a motion, we have a second, and clerk, I will ask you to please call the roll.
Sorry, the voting system, please cast your vote. That passes unanimously 7-0 with Council President Pro Tem LaCava and Councilmember Campbell absent. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, before we get to our next items, to our consent agenda, I did want to raise the possibility that we will be trailing non-agenda public comment, depending on how long public comment is on our consent agenda and the two morning discussion items that we have. So just wanted to raise that pretty good possibility that that will be the case. I would say that it's unlikely that we will hear virtual non-agenda public comment this morning. I wanted to be as transparent as possible and let folks plan accordingly. With that, we will now move to see if there's any mayor, council, city attorney, IBA, or clerk comments. Councilmember Moreno.
I just wanted to go ahead and wish everybody a happy Hispanic Heritage Month. We started celebrating yesterday, acknowledging our city clerk as our Hispanic leader of the year, and we'll continue celebrating as the month goes on. Really just focusing on all the contributions that the Hispanic community has provided to the city and that we continue to provide. So hopefully everybody gets to celebrate. And that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Councilmember Moreno. Looking forward to recognizing this month as well. Obviously the contributions from individuals, the history that's been made, the many, many areas that that our Hispanic and Latino community has contributed to San Diego and the United States as a whole. Also, in my opinion, the most delicious month of the year, but I'm biased, I will recognize that bias. Councilmember Von Wolper, turn to you.
Thank you, I agree, it is a very delicious month. And I want to say thank you to the clerk and to Councilor Moreno. Yesterday's opening celebration was fantastic. The archives look wonderful. It was wonderful. I love Chicano Park. It's one of the gems of our city, and it's really amazing to see it encapsulated downtown, or here in City Hall. So thank you.
Councilor Campillo.
Thank you, Council President. Just wanted to briefly call attention to a major cultural event that happened in San Diego over the last 2 months or so. At the Old Globe, the Erna Finchi Viterbi Artistic Director, Barry Edelstein, put together the final Shakespearean play that the Old Globe had not yet in its 89-year history put on with Henry VI, essentially taking three Henry VI plays, boiling it down into two parts. We had people coming from all over the world to see this. It's something that only happens once every quarter century or even more or so. Not only was it an artistic success, but it involved over 1,000 workers and volunteers from across the region putting it together, which just goes to show that when we focus in on something that can be transformational art, we create lots of good jobs, bring people to San Diego, and I just want to congratulate Barry Edelstein on such an accomplishment. I was able to see both parts, and it was fantastic in its portrayal and connecting it to modern day politics. Hopefully they'll be able to produce it at a different show now. The final show was on Sunday, and just want to congratulate Barry and the whole entire Old Globe organization for that.
Thank you, Councilmember Campillo. Councilmember Lee.
Thanks, Council President. Just taking a moment to wish folks who do celebrate a happy Mid-Autumn Festival Day. It happens to be the exact day that it lands on. Today, celebrated by numerous cultures under a number of names. I know my family has and people can probably continue to enjoy mooncakes, if that's something that you might be familiar with. This is the time that it's typically celebrated. Hope folks get to enjoy the holiday.
Thank you, Councilor Lee. All right, with that, thank you, Clerk Fuentes, for what you've done in the lobby. More and more seeing that space turned into not just a place for folks to wait, but to see city history, and you continuing to lean in to ensure that the city's history is truly representative of all the folks who've made history here in San Diego. I'm very appreciative of. So thank you for that.
Thank you to all the council members. I did say thank you downstairs at the event, but your efforts and your assistance in ensuring that our Archives Access and Preservation Program, small but mighty as it is and unique to the city of San Diego, is very much appreciated, and I think appreciated by many in the community from our large attendance yesterday. So I deeply appreciate all of your support.
Thank you, Clerk. All right, with that, let's move to our consent agenda. Are there any requests to pull items from the consent agenda? All right, seeing none, let's proceed with public comment on the consent agenda.
Thank you. Please note each speaker will have 1 minute per item per person. If you would like to speak on three or more items, you will have a maximum of 3 minutes. The consent agenda includes items 10, 50, 100, 101, S503, and S504. We do not receive any comments via our e-comment on any of the consent items. Also, let me note for the record the potential appointments that are on the agenda this morning. Item S503 is a potential appointments of Dr. Michael Ackerman and Allison Schlick to the Community Forest Advisory Board. If I can have Joy Senyata come up for item 100, you'll have 1 minute. Please proceed when ready.
Thank you. City Clerk Pointes, trip and fall case settlement, $105,000. This case makes me even more thankful for homeowners partnering to repair sidewalks in front of their property. Perhaps since plaintiff fell on a concrete sidewalk near his home, and if it was in front of a neighbor's home, sidewalk would have been in good condition and therefore accident would have been avoided. Therefore, $100,000 would have been back in the city's pocket. Resident would not have been injured. Good neighbors would have had a good relationship. Thanks for listening and love to all.
Thank you. I'll start the 5 minute timer here in council chambers. Go to those participating remotely, starting with Lori Saldana. If you can please unmute and let me know which item or items you wish to speak to.
Just put all of them. Thank you. I'll do my best. For item 10, the approval of council minutes includes a special meeting to go over how you once again violated the Brown Act, did a resolution to promise not to do it again. You would have more time to deal with council business. You might be able to do your agenda fully if you weren't wasting time moving things around in such a way and permitting talk that frankly is just happy talk that doesn't accomplish the business of the council. And on item 50, I'm sorry, that's not on this part of the agenda. Let's go to item 100 regarding a settlement. I would have to say, as someone who lost an 80-year-old member of my family to a fall on a city sidewalk, that no amount of money going back to the city is worth the pain, the suffering, and in this case, the death of somebody who trips and falls and winds up with injuries that contribute to pain, suffering, and sometimes death. And it doesn't matter if it's in front of City Hall or if it's in front of someone's home. The city has a responsibility, moral, if not merely financial and ethical, to manage city infrastructure. And yesterday a resolution took place regarding transportation safety. And it focused on many things, but I think pedestrian safety on walking on sidewalks, regardless of vehicles being nearby, is absolutely essential. And so my condolences to Mr. Jordan for the pain and suffering he has endured, and the amount of money he received probably doesn't cover all of the expenses that he and his family actually have had to pay out over time. I'll skip the appointments and just say again that the City Council, if you're going to be managing your agenda, then please don't load so many things onto it. that are preventing you from managing things in an efficient way.
Ms. Saldana, Laurie, just pausing really quick because you had said that you weren't going to speak on item 50 because it wasn't on this portion of the agenda. Before I do, I'll just notify you that item 50 is on the agenda. You've only spoken to two items, so you would only get the 2 minutes if you're not speaking to the appointments or to item 101. So would you like to speak to item 50?
Let's see, the other ones were items 100. When you change things around on the agenda this way, Madam Clerk, I realize you're trying to be efficient, but it also does make things more difficult for people who are not in the council and don't see what you put forward. So the items you put forward for this are currently 10, 50, 100. What were the other ones?
101, S503, and S504. We do have a summary agenda posted online that helps you as a finding aid of the items. So which other item would you like to speak to?
I'm just scrolling back through. Oh, I know what it was. It was another legal settlement. And this is regarding payments for the North University City DIF. This was also regarding a legal decision where you interfered with a business that was attempting to simply do what businesses do in San Diego, provide services and for their customers. And the city was found liable because the project interfered with their business operations, the permanent loss of parking spaces, ability for customers to get gas, line up for gas, dust, construction, noise. So I'm bringing that forward because, again, the city has a responsibility to manage things for businesses. If you're going to support small businesses in San Diego, please do so and act in ways that don't result not only in a loss of business to them as a private party, but now the loss of San Diego for the settlement. Thank you.
Thank you. And for the record, you spoke on items 10, 100, and S504. Next, we have the original. If you can please unmute. And please let me know which item or items you wish to speak
Hello.
To. Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, sorry. Yes, I would like to do... I'm going to try and do all of them because I was actually going to wonder why you were doing with the stuff with the minutes like this. You're putting it on consent, which is interesting. You know, they were very vague as far as the description goes when you're looking into what was said. On one of them, it was saying, I was just talking about public speaking and council meetings. The other one said removing virtual public comment, which that's sort of, and then pedophilia. So I think whoever's taking these needs to be more, a little bit do better because you can't read these minutes and understand what kind of the person was saying. And I say this all the time. You guys need to be more mindful of that. If you're actually taking a record of something, it's too vague and ambiguous to really understand what was said. I'm going to go to the settlement. So, you know, just like you guys brought forward an item yesterday, saying that you're going to do something about this, if you're going to be doing something about it, we should start to see less and less litigation and settlements coming forward from people who have been injured due to the negligence of the city. Again, it comes from the people. We're the ones paying for it, and it's unfortunate that that has to continue to take place. So the hope is that when you are bringing forward something to protect the safety of people, that you're actually really going to do it. And, you know, instead of like how Joy was saying, that money could still be in the city and we wouldn't have to be putting it out towards this. That could have been spent to probably fix the sidewalk or whatever infrastructure that was. For the Community Forest Advisory Board, I hope that these people will be making sure that we're taking care of the trees and everything. I feel like, you know, nothing can get taken care of because there aren't enough people. You have so many trees to take care of that there's not enough workers to get it done and make sure that they're, taken care of on a regular basis instead of letting things kind of wait for such a long time. And then you can possibly have even injuries and settlements from possibly them not being upkept and something like a branch breaking or something like that and injuring an individual. And then when we're transferring funds from one place to another, you know, that usually gets us in hot water because when you're doing that, it is minimizing what can be done with the one that you're taking it from. Is it going to be replaced? or is this just going to go from the University City DIF to Miramar Road 805 easterly ramp, you know, CIP project? I just find that when you guys are transferring funds like that, that it's always causing a problem, and we should be mindful of that. Instead of just, you know, moving money over from here to there, there's a reason why the money is in the place where it's at. So I think we need to be mindful of the people's money and what you guys do with it, and if it's going to cause trouble for one thing over another.
Your time has concluded. For the record, you spoke on items 10, 100, S503, and S504. I would ask our virtual speakers to please note which items they plan on speaking on for the record to be accurately captured. Thank you, Council President.
All right, thank you, Clerk. We'll now entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda, as well as provide an opportunity for questions or comments, beginning with Council Member Lundell.
Thank you very much, Council President. I just have kind of comments on item S503, appointment to the Community Forest Advisory Board. I am very happy to support the appointment of a wonderful District 5 resident, Allison Schlick, to the Community Forest Advisory Board. Allison has been working as a volunteer with Zero Waste San Diego since 2016. She's been an advocate for sustainability, wildlife protection, and eliminating single-use products. She also worked with local nonprofits to help them meet their zero waste goals, which is a huge climate effort. We appreciate your work in that regard. I appreciate your willingness to serve in this role on the Community Forest Advisory Board, as well as promoting and sustaining a healthy urban forest here in San Diego. So with that, I will move the consent agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Von Wilbert. Happy to offer a second there. Allison's a law school a classmate of mine, and in addition to everything you said, always just a very, very kind and nice person who does as much to treat people at an individual level very well as she does to try to make the whole world a better place. Thank you for your recognition of her, and definitely appreciative of her service. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda put forward by Councilmember Von Wilbert. I seconded that motion. I don't see any additional requests to speak to the item. Clerk, please call the roll.
I started the voting system. Please cast your vote. For the record, the consent agenda before you is our approval of items 10, 50, 100, 101, and S503. That does pass unanimously, 7-0, with Council President Pro Tem Bacala absent and Council Member Campbell absent. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's move to our morning discussion agenda, and we'll begin with item S505.
Thank you, Council President. Item S505 is the Uptown Community Planning Group recognition and waiver of the Council Policy 600-24 requirement for a newly formed CPG to complete their voting member election within 90 calendar days of the date of final passage of the Council's initial resolution recognizing the CPG. If you are here in Council Chambers and wish to speak to this item, please be sure to submit a speaker slip to the High Lectern. If you are joining us virtually, raise your hand by pressing the raise your hand icon or *9. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you. All right. If our presenters would please introduce yourselves for the record and let us know how much time you'd like for this item.
Good morning, Council President. Marlon Pangolina, Program Coordinator with the City Planning Department. And I'm also joined by Heidi Von Bloom, Planning Director.
All right.
I'll need no more than 3 minutes.
Please proceed.
Okay, good morning, Council President Ivo Rivera, members of the City Council. Again, I'm Marlon Pangolina, Program Coordinator with the City Planning Department. And Heidi Von Bloom, Planning Director, is joining me as well. The item before you today is the Uptown Community Planning Group recognition and waiver of the Council Policy 600-24 requirement for a newly formed community planning group to complete their voting member election within 90 calendar days of the date of final passage of Council's initial resolution. In September 2022, Council Policy 600-24, which sets forth the standard operating procedures and responsibilities for recognized community planning groups, was amended to emphasize the group's independent status and establish a new recognition process for planning groups. On May 21st of this year, the City Council recognized the Uptown Community Planning Group as the official planning group for the Uptown community, and upon recognition as a newly formed group, was required to complete voting member elections within 90 calendar days after the date of final passage of the resolution recognizing the new planning group and establishing independent election committee to prepare and conduct the election. The Uptown Community Planning Group formed an independent election committee but did not complete the election until 97 calendar days after the final passage of the resolution. As I mentioned, the election committee was formed shortly after the Uptown Community Plan Group was recognized by City Council. The election committee began preparing for the elections and scheduled it to take place over several days with online and in-person voting options from August 8th to August 20th prior to the August 27th deadline. However, due to a technical issue with the voting software, the election was suspended until the issue could be resolved. The issue has since been resolved. However, the delay resulted in completing the election 7 days past the 90-day timeframe. To maintain the official status for the planning group recognized by the City Council, City staff recommends that City Council adopt a resolution recognizing the Uptown Community Planning Group, notwithstanding the failure to comply with the requirement in Council Policy 600-24 for a newly formed planning group to complete their election within 90 calendar days of the date of final passage of the Council's initial resolution recognizing that community planning group. That concludes staff's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, do we have public comment on this item?
Yes, we do. We do have some here in Council Chambers, Sharon Gell and Gail Free. If you can please come forward, starting with Sharon, you'll have a minute and a half. Sharon Gell?
Minute and a half. Okay. 4 months ago, the City Council chose one application to be the recognized Uptown Planning Group rather than another. The Council now has proof that you made the right choice. The previous board held an election in March using their operating procedures. Only 235 people voted. The group you picked, the Uptown Community Planning Group, held an election last month using the operating procedures that were in their application. Their election had 913 voters, almost four times as many. Most of those voters chose to vote online because the committee used an online voting program that gave voters more options. Yes, there was a problem with the software. The interim election committee that I served on was not able to complete the election within 90 days because of a software glitch that was beyond the committee's control. The software vendor took full control, full responsibility for the problem, and worked with the committee to remedy the issue. I ask you now to recognize the Uptown Community Planning Group. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Gail.
Thank you. My name is Gail Freed, and I was a member of the Uptown Community Planning Group Election Committee. I'm here today to ask you to recognize the new Uptown Community Planning Group Board, despite the election being extended past the 90-day election period. From the beginning of the process to elect a new CPG, the election committee was subject to harassment at every turn. Due to a software issue the evening of August 20th, the election had to be suspended for both online and in-person voting. All the votes cast at that point were secure, but no new registrations or voting could take place. That evening, I was verbally attacked by Hillcrest candidate and his friend, men who outweighed me by 200 pounds. It was extremely frightening. The election committee persevered and opened the election to both online registrations and held another in-person election. 900 plus votes were cast, as compared to 235 in the previous election. The people of Uptown have spoken. Every neighborhood had voters vote yes today and recognize the Uptown Community Planning Group as a CPG representing Uptown. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to those participating online. I've started the 5-minute timer here in Council Chambers, starting with Kathleen Limpet. If you can please unmute. Kathleen Limpet, I can't unmute for you. I will have to go to the next speaker if you're not ready to go. Moving to the next speaker, Susan White, if you can please unmute.
My name is Susan White. I am here because I know you're not going to change your vote because you never do. However, when we talk about that, the fact that today you are looking at only one area, the fact that it was delayed 3 days. What I'm wondering is, when are you going to be looking at other areas, such as the city's inability to oversee this election? The date that the election was held off, I'm wondering, when are you going to rule on the fact that the election was then reopened for all concerned? I'm wondering, when are you going to consider the fact that those people that showed up for the election on that day were not allowed to vote that day, and no information was collected from them, so that those that were there to vote at the exact time they were supposed to did not vote? But then when are you going to deal with the fact that the entire election was reopened to everybody, and this was after the numbers that were obtained prior to it being closed were made available to some people in the community, but not all? How are we to know if and when that re-election, the new stuff getting to come in, was that based on the fact that there was knowledge that those people that were running for election had majorities at that point in time? And then
thank you for that concluding remark. Sorry, your time has concluded. You can send additional comments to cityclerk@sandiego.gov and they will be distributed. Lori Saldana, if you can please unmute.
Yes, I'm the president of a board for a foundation whose offices are in the uptown area. A board member and an employee of our foundation also live in the area. We were eligible to vote, but we never received notices. And the member who lives, the board member who lives in the district, walked over to vote and waited in line and was not able to complete the vote because of those software glitches. It's insufficient to blame software glitches on the problems with this vote. There were numerous other votes, lack of notification to people who were eligible included. And for the city council to approve this is undermining people's faith in how our community planning efforts take place. And I say that as someone who served on the state's elections committee and also chaired housing and community development. So community development and having people vote for who will represent them and approve and authorize at times or make recommendations for the spending of tens of millions of dollars to improve their communities. People need to be able to trust the process that put those people in positions of power and decision making, that process was fair, it was transparent, and it was done properly. And none of that happened in this case. You need to have them do this election over again. Don't just rubber stamp a bad election process.
Thank you. The original, if you can please unmute.
Yeah, it's crazy to see that even just on the little scale like this, that the voting is, having issues. The system, I mean, I don't understand why you would even use voting software to count and collect 900 votes. That should be like a one-day process where you hand count it. It's handwritten. We don't be involving any software because that's when problems arise. And if you don't think it happens on a massive scale, if it happens on a small scale like this, you better damn well bet that it happens on a massive scale. And that's how, voter fraud comes in. But people want to act like it doesn't happen. But this could potentially be showing you that there's issues with even using any kind of software and doing it in that way. Because if you're worried about how long it takes, I mean, literally you could do it in one day for 900 votes. So I just think it's negligent to be using any kind of software that would then potentially cause you to suspend an election, and you're all worried about 7 days and, making them. I mean, how can you even guarantee that the votes are secure at that point if something has happened with the software? So, I mean, you wouldn't know because it would happen within the software having some kind of issue. And so if you don't know what those votes are already, you can't claim that it's secure. But I think that that's negligent to be going down that way. If you want a secure election, you want it to go on time in that right manner, then go back to simplicity.
Your time has concluded. Wesley Morgan, if you can please unmute. The 5-minute timer has also concluded here in council chambers. No additional speakers will be taken.
Good morning, council members. I'm Wes Morgan. I ran in this election as a homeowner in Mission Hills. I lost. But I do see the result as a very diverse and representative board. It is a success for Uptown. Today, I stand in strong support to continue recognition of the Uptown CPG, notwithstanding the minor delay in their election process. The new CPG was tasked with an important and complex job of ensuring the broad community representation in the planning process, and they've done so with dedication and integrity. From the moment this small volunteer group, the election committee of three, was recognized, they faced significant challenges, not only in executing a seamless election, but also navigating the disruptive actions of a few vocal individuals who attempted to stand in the way of progress at every turn. When the election committee reached out for volunteers to ensure a fair and transparent election, community members who care about Uptown stepped up, donated their time and energy to make the process work. On the other hand, a few bad faith opponents did everything in their power to derail the process. Their actions were not only supportive of, they were not supportive of our community's needs, they were purely obstructive, aiming to sow discord rather than foster collaboration. Instead of engaging constructively, they chose to be a barrier. In closing, it's crucial we acknowledge the hard work and dedication of those who genuinely care about the Uptown's future. The CPG deserves to be recognized, not just for their commitment, but for their ability to rise above the obstacles placed along their way. I urge you to adopt today's resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude public comment on this item. I would like to note this item did receive 2 comments in favor and 3 comments in opposition via our e-comment form, which have been distributed to the council. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you, Clerk. All right. Let's begin council's discussion with Councilmember Whitman.
Thank you, Council President. I want to thank the Planning Department for the presentation and all the work that has gone into this. Thank you to the residents and the business owners who are in Uptown who made their voices heard by participating in this election in a variety of different ways. Those who voted in the election, those who ran for the various seats that were up for election. Thanks to everybody who ran, and congratulations to those who won seats on the planning group, those who have served on the planning group for many years, and those who are new to the planning group. Very much looking forward to hearing your recommendations on city actions and appreciate your service, so thank you in advance, and I'm happy to make the motion to approve the staff recommendation.
Thank you, Councilor Whitman. We have a motion. We'll now turn to Councilmember Lee.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you, Councilmember Woodburn, for his work on this item as well. And thank you to the Planning Department. Certainly, I know the change in council policy at the early part of the year meant that there's some new processes sort of in place, and recognize that the timeline for the 90 calendar days may not have been met. But I will acknowledge that I appreciate hearing some of the efforts that are being made in terms of reaching out to a broad, diverse audience of residents. I think something that reflects what we appreciated about the proposal for the Uptown Community Planning Group to begin with, in terms of providing opportunities for residents of all types to participate in the process. I can certainly share that my planning groups, I don't think, see this kind of participation, and that is something that is difficult to achieve. Recognize that there may be challenges in implementing that as well, but do want to ensure that we follow up with the council action that was taken earlier this year. And with that, I will offer a second to the motion.
All right, thank you, Councilmember Lee. We have a motion and a second to approve the resolution. I don't see any additional requests to speak. Clerk, please call the roll.
I'm sorry, the voting system, please cast your vote. That does pass unanimously, 7-0, with Council President Pro Tem Lacoma and Council Member Campbell absent. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that brings us to our next morning discussion item. Clerk, if you please introduce item S506.
Item S506 is the resolution supporting Unite Here Local 30 workers related to the labor dispute in the local hospitality industry. This item is not subject to the mayor's veto, and if you'd like to speak to this item, please be sure to raise your hand by pressing *9 or the raise your hand icon, or if you're here in council chambers, please submit your speaker slip to the high lectern. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you, Clerk. All right, if our presenter would please introduce yourself for the record and let us know your time is up.
Thank you, Council President. Probably no more than 2 minutes, and I will not have a presentation. I'll just make a couple quick remarks. Good morning, Brian Elliott, Deputy Chief of Staff and Policy Director for Council President Pro Tem Joe LaCava. I'm here to present this item, and hopefully the Council President Pro Tem will be back momentarily. So, Real quick, item S506, this is a resolution in support of fair and just negotiations for Unite Here, Local 30. As we all know, every Labor Day is a helpful reminder of why we have the 40-hour work week, the minimum wage, paid overtime, and so many other worker protections. This year was no exception, as thousands of hotel workers across the country went to their employers calling for higher wages, fair staffing and workloads, and reversal of COVID-era cuts. As hotels continue to experience record profits, hospitality employees remain the heart of the industry. Cost of living, especially housing and utilities, make fair wages and workloads that more essential to employees. While other workers in the country have come to terms, our local hospitality workers, represented by Unite Here Local 30, remain in negotiations with the Hilton. This council has a demonstrated history of speaking up for workers and ensuring that negotiations are fair, just, and afford the protections that generations of workers have fought for. The resolution before council today affirms your commitment to workers involved in the current labor dispute and that they reach a just resolution. Thank you to Councilmember Foster, Campillo, and Lee for your support of Unite Here. And on behalf of Council President Pro Tem LaCava, I ask the council's support to support the reso and fair and just negotiations. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you for the presentation. Let's hear public comment, please.
We'll start with Bridget Browning. If you can please come forward. After that will be Rosa Carrillo, and you'll have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon. This is a very emotional day for me, to be honest. When I started in 1997, literally the only city council person who cared about us was Juan Vargas from District 8. The rest only cared about TOT, and they could care less about how the hotel industry took advantage of workers, became obscenely wealthy. The owners and the shareholders have greatly profited off our industry, but they've left these folks behind. And we're the ones that make the profits for them. I think now Hilton's finally realizing what we actually do, because we tend to be invisible. If we do our job well, you don't notice we're there. But trust me, when we're not there, they definitely notice. Your support has been so inspiring to our members when you come out and you tell them, people of power that actually see them and recognize what they're trying to do. We're trying to lift up a whole industry. Because what we win here for these workers, the rest of the hotels will copy. And we could change people's lives from living in poverty to actually being able to afford groceries and to not have to work a second job, which causes social problems for all of us. And so it's just so meaningful that you're willing to stand up for them, because that was not the San Diego I grew up in. It was not the San Diego of Pete Wilson. And I'm so proud to be here with you all today and to be here with these courageous strikers who have now foregone a paycheck for 17 days to fight what's right for them and for their families. And I'm just so humbled by this whole experience, and I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Rosa Carrillo is a Spanish speaker. Although her English is very good, she's nervous to speak in English. So Diana, are you gonna translate for her?
I can translate.
Okay, wonderful.
Rosa, le voy a poner 4 minutos porque agarra 2 minutos de hablar y 2 minutos para su traducción. Nomás para que sepa si puede, por favor, hablar en frases cortas para poder traducirle adecuadamente. Adelante, señora, que tenga un día.
Buenos días, mi nombre es Rosa Carrillo.
Good morning, my name is Rosa Carrillo.
Trabajo en el Hotel Hilton Bayfront.
I work at the Hilton Bayfront.
Y vengo en representación de todas mis compañeras housekeeping.
And I come in representation of all of my colleagues in housekeeping.
Lo que yo quiero decirles es que gracias por la atención que ustedes nos están brindando esta mañana.
I want to say thank you for the time and attention that you are giving us this morning.
Y que nos ayuden, ¿verdad? Porque tenemos una crisis económica muy fuerte. Las rentas están demasiado caras.
And I'm asking for your help because we have a very severe economic crisis where rents are very high.
Ahorita no estamos viviendo, estamos sobreviviendo.
Right now we are not living, we are just surviving.
Necesitamos que se haga justicia, ¿verdad?, en nuestro trabajo.
We need there to be justice in
our work. Para que podamos tener un solo trabajo.
So that we can only have one job or only need one job.
Porque teniendo dos trabajos, ¿qué es lo que pasa? Se descuidan a los hijos.
Because when there are two jobs and we have to take two jobs, what happens is that our children aren't being taken care of.
¿Y qué es lo que va a pasar en el futuro con ellos?
And what's going to happen in the future with them?
¿Van a ser drogadictos?
They're going to be drug addicts.
¿Van a ser rateros?
They're going to be thieves.
¿Por qué?
Why?
Porque los padres no están al pendiente.
Because the parents aren't there able
Estamos
to take care of.
Preocupados por mantenerles un lugar donde vivir.
We are very worried to be able to withhold and maintain a place for them to live.
Y queremos, verdad, el apoyo y la ayuda de todos ustedes.
And we really want
Porque
the support.
Porque la economía en realidad está muy cara.
We need the support of all of you because right now the economy is just way too expensive.
Antes podíamos ir a comprar mucho por poco.
Before we can actually buy a lot with a little.
Pero ahora es comprar mucho por, no, comprar poquito por mucho.
But right now we can only buy a little bit with a lot.
Entonces yo agradezco de su atención de cada uno de ustedes.
So I appreciate each of your attentions to this matter.
Y que nos ayuden a dar un poco de presión, ¿verdad? Para que este contrato se resuelva.
And that you can help us put a little bit more pressure so that this contract can be resolved.
Gracias por su tiempo.
Thank you very much for your time. Gracias, señora. That does conclude public comment here in council chambers. We'll go to those participating remotely. I've started the 5-minute timer here in council chambers, starting with Lori Saldana. If you can please unmute.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, please proceed.
Yes, just as a note, item 506 was incorrectly included in the previous consent agenda, which is why I was confused about what items I'm speaking to. So as a retired labor member, every worker deserves to have ethical leadership representing them and working on their behalf. Every worker of a union deserves that. And I would just remind this council that Bridget Browning supported the Midway Rising Project while her husband was being paid over $200,000 to lobby on their behalf. And she never reported that conflict of interest to you.
So then are you speaking to the item in front of us?
These workers who are showing up today deserve ethical leadership on their behalf. And I hope that they are going to get that when it comes to these hotel negotiations. Because the history of negotiations in this city, as was pointed out by Ms. Browning, has been problematic. It's been problematic for the workers and for all of us at large as a result. Because those of us who were in education and had to teach students who were not being paid enough, who were working long hours, who fell asleep in class, it reflects those working conditions that are harmful to hotel workers and others. But the bottom line on this is, we need to have ethical and moral leadership in our labor unions. We need to have strong leaders who stand up and don't back down and don't give away issues because of political or campaign-related issues. So I hope that that is going to happen in this case. I hope that they will reach an agreement. I don't know that this rises to the level of having, frankly, a resolution. I think there are always questions to be asked about this, looking behind the scenes. That's one thing that we have learned from previous negotiations. So I hope that has been done. I hope before you vote on this resolution that you've done your due diligence to make sure everything is being conducted legally and above board.
Thank you. Thank you. Time has concluded. The original, if you can please unmute.
All right, give me a second. Yes, I think, I mean, granted, I don't know that you guys would be ones that would be anybody to really be helping these people out, but I think it's important that people get, you know, compensated for the work they do, especially when we have these businesses coming in and making a lot of money and then, you know, kind of disregarding their employees and not really giving them a fair wage. So I think whatever, you know, we can do to do that. But the hope is that, you know, in your, you know, desire to, you know, continue to get money from these hotels and whatnot for things in the community, that you will make sure that the workers are getting their fair pay and that we're not, that you see it through, that you make sure that, but I mean, what are you going to do? You're just supporting them to related to this dispute. So it's like, I don't really even know what this is going to do, how a resolution is in support is actually going to make sure that that happens.
Because it could possibly be just kind of like smoke and mirrors and make it look good like you're supporting them. But again, I mean, what does that support do to help them? Because what's going to happen if they don't get their fair wages? Are you going to, you know, punish the hotel that's in the city? Are you going to, like, what are you going to do to make sure that this happens besides this resolution? Because a lot of times it's just on the surface, it looks good. Oh, we're just going to support this, which you should. But at the same time, how is that going to move the needle forward for these people to actually get the wages? So, you know, I don't know. A lot of times it's just busy work to make it seem like something is going to happen and then, you know, people still suffer. So hopefully this actually makes a difference.
Your time is concluded. Thank you for the comments. And that concludes public comment on item S506.
All right. Thank you, Clerk. Let's begin Council's discussion with Councilmember Foster.
Yes, thank you, Council President, and I just would like to take a moment and thank my colleagues, Council Member LaCava, Campillo, and Kent Lee for co-sponsoring this resolution and bringing this item forward. I think it's important to support Unite Here Local 30's rights under the National Labor Relations Act. This resolution is essential in affirming the rights of hospitality workers to organize, advocate for fair wages, health care benefits, safe working conditions, and have a meaningful voice in their workplace. Supporting these rights ensures that dedicated workers in the hospitality industry can continue to have a livable wage in a city where their efforts help support this economy and tourism industry. Thank you to Unite Here Local 30 and the workers they support. Again, I support this resolution to allow our hospitality workers to organize. And you have my full support, and I would like to move make a motion to move this item forward. With that, Council President, I would like to close with the following remarks. And I want to be very clear, based on comments that we have heard here today. This item is not about union leadership. This item is not about Ms. Bridget Browning. This item is about the members. That's what's important here, and that's what counts. Making a decision to strike is a very difficult decision, as it comes with personal sacrifice. And so I don't think we need to ignore that aspect. And I think we actually need to embrace the courage of the members of Unite Here and Local 30. So I applaud you for your efforts. I ask that you continue to stay strong, stay union strong, and I just really hope that the hotel industry comes to the table and does what's right. And I just want each of you to know, your members, that you have my support as long as this takes. So I will leave that there, and that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Foster. We've got a motion to approve the resolution put forward by Councilmember Foster. We'll now turn to Councilmember Von Wilber.
Thank you. I will second the motion. I want to thank my colleagues very, very much for bringing this forward. Councilmember Campillo, Councilmember Lee, and Council President Pro Tem LaCava. Thank you, Ryan, for the presentation. Thank you to the workers who are here today, and to Bridget for your leadership. Councilmember Lee and I were just down to the strike line earlier this morning, bringing a second round of coffee and donuts and participating in the picket for a little while. I've also donated personally to the strike fund, because you are forgoing very, very much needed paychecks during this time. This is not an easy decision. This is a decision you are making for your futures and for the future of all workers here in San Diego, and we appreciate you. It is a very, very hard decision to strike, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of physical labor to get out there every day and bring the supplies needed and raise awareness to folks. But Local 30 members, you are the backbone of our economy, of our TOT. You do not get enough credit for that. The hotel ownership likes to take credit for all of the hotel room nights sold, but you're the ones making sure people have actual wonderful experiences in San Diego and hospitality and want to return to our great city. I know how many of you have to travel very long distances to come to work because it is very hard to afford to live in San Diego. I know how many of you are working second jobs and are not able to be home with families just to try and make ends meet here. So we support our hotels, we think they're wonderful, and we think the workers who work there are wonderful, and there can be a win-win situation here if hotel management can come back to the negotiating table and do what's right for our workers. So thank you so much. We stand in solidarity with you. Thank you very much to Bridget Browning for your leadership over the years. As you said, it's been a long transformation to get this city government to recognize all the people who contribute to our economy. So thank you very much, and I'll second the motion.
Councilmember Von Lippert. Councilmember Campillo.
Thank you, Council President. Very happy to support this resolution today with my colleagues and with Council President Pro Tem LaCava and Councilmember Kent and Foster. I think that I've done my due diligence on this, and that was walking the line with the strikers to see how hard they're working and what they're doing for our community. I think it's very difficult for a person who's never been a member of a union or who's never been on a strike to understand what you're facing when you go on strike. And then you see people who cross the picket line and go make the money that you should be paying when they could have just paid you more. I think that it's really important that the City Council continuously stands up for our labor unions that are doing the good work. And I think that, Clarence Darrow was one of the most famous and successful attorneys in the 20th century. And he said that trade unions have done more for humanity than any other organization of men and women that have ever existed, for decency and honesty, education, for the development of character, than any other association. And I'm really proud to see so many San Diegans walking up to the hotel and turning around and people checking out. We do have strong support in the community for these workers who are doing their part as well and standing in solidarity. So I really do thank the members of the public who've shown up and helped as well. I'll end with this. Cesar Chavez said, I really can't appreciate Councilmember Foster enough for what he had to say about what this fight is really about. Cesar Chavez said, the fight was never about grapes or lettuce, it's about the people. And it's certainly not about the gripes, it's about the people. So I'm very happy to be in support of this.
Thank you, Councilmember Campillo. Councilmember Lee.
Thank you, Council President, and thank you to my colleagues. I'm certainly proud to not only be joining this resolution, but to simply recognize that we are living in a pro-labor city and that we are here to stand with our workers. Today is day 17, I believe, of Local 30 strike. And I mean, we were there when you were first looking to authorize this, and to be frank, recognizing that it is not an easy decision to make. Being out there and speaking with folks who recognize that you are making a sacrifice, which you've already make a sacrifice day-to-day, recognizing how challenging it is to live in the city of San Diego, and that there are folks who don't even live in the city of San Diego but are helping to serve our economy and to have a positive impact to, as Councilmember Von Wolpert said, the backbone of our city. I think all you're asking for is fairness. Fairness to have folks at the table discuss what you're asking for, to be able to share why it is challenging for you and your stories, and to ask not just for fairness in return, but I think to ask for respect. And that's something we certainly stand here with you on. In 17 days, I know you've been out there in 100 degree heat, whether it's in the evening, in the middle of the day, early mornings, all hours. And I will just reflect that one of the conversations I had last week was with, I believe, Helen, who happens to be a UTC resident of mine in District 6, and we had an important conversation about his experience as a immigrant. His family grew up in Taiwan, and his experience having been there with the Bay Firm since day one in banquets. And I think just hearing, I think those stories have a resounding impact for every one of us to understand that this isn't just what you're facing each day, it's what San Diegans are facing across our city. So thank you again to my colleagues for joining on this, and still continue to be standing with you every day.
Thank you, Councilor Lee. Councilmember Moreno.
Thank you for the presentation, and also thank you to Council President
Pro Tem Lacava, Councilmember Foster, Lee, and Campillo for bringing this resolution forward today. Unite Here Local 30 workers provide critical services within the hospitality industry. It's vital that they receive compensation that keeps pace with the cost of living for their work so they can afford to live here in San Diego, the city in which they work in. I will always stand behind our hospitality workers and urge for this dispute to come to an end and for our workers to be provided with fair wages, healthcare benefits, and safe working conditions. Yo siempre estaré al lado de los trabajadores y urjo que este asunto se resuelva lo más pronto posible. Que los trabajadores, tengan sueldos justos, beneficios de atención médicos y condiciones de trabajos seguros. Muchas gracias a los que nos están, los que están aquí ahorita de local Unite Here Local 30. Lo tenía que decir en inglés, perdón. And I strongly support this resolution brought before us. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you, Councilmember Moreno. Councilmember Whitburn.
Thank you, Council President. As a city, we owe a great deal to our hotel workers. They are the lifeblood of one of San Diego's most vital industries, our tourism and hospitality sector. It is a sector that is a point of pride for our city. And your hard work keeps our hotels running smoothly and ensures that visitors from around the world experience the warmth and excellence that our world-class San Diego hotels are known for. And I want our hospitality workers to know that they are valued for the essential role that you play in the success of our city. I think we all want a San Diego where our hotels and our hotel workers thrive. Y yo digo también, gracias por estar aquí. Su trabajo es muy importante para el turismo y la economía y la reputación de nuestra ciudad. Gracias por todo lo que hacen. Thank you for being here today. Your work is very important to the tourism, the economy, and the reputation of our city. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you, Councilmember Woodburn. All right, so we've got a motion put forward by Councilmember Foster, seconded by Councilmember Von Loper. I want to express my appreciation to the workers who came down here today and the work that you've been doing. Councilmember Moreno raised what I think is kind of one of the central issues in this. And that is, are workers being paid well enough to live in the city that they're working? And I know that for many of you, the answer to that question is no. Simultaneously, on August 8th, Hilton Worldwide Holdings announced a net income of $422 million for the second quarter of 2024. It was $422 million in the second quarter of 2024. Looking ahead to the full year of 2024, Hilton projects a net income of $1.53 to $1.55 billion, with adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, which is an indicator of overall profitability, expected to be between $3.37 billion and $3.4 billion. And these folks are trying to make sure that they can keep a roof over their head in the city that they work. So it is a no-doubter in terms of where my support lies in this fight. I am incredibly grateful for you all doing the work that you're doing. There's huge personal sacrifice, and as my colleagues have mentioned, you are not just lifting yourselves up, you are lifting all workers up in San Diego by fighting for that very simple principle that Unite Here has so succinctly put forward over the years, which is one job should be enough. One job where you work incredibly hard should be enough to allow you to live in the city where you're working. There is no tourism industry without you. Doesn't matter how good our weather is or how nice those buildings are, you are what make this a great tourist destination. And it is incredibly important for the very, very wealthy individuals and corporations who benefit from that work, that they keep that in mind. So thank you again for that. Thank you, my colleagues, for bringing this forward. I will proudly cast a vote in support. I will express my appreciation to Council President Pro Tem Lacava. He hasn't been able to make it back for the item, but doing the legwork along with Brian to get this item in front of us. in order for the council to express our support to Unite Here. I know you all were negotiating last week, hopefully this is, you know, just another demonstration of the support that you all should have to get the result that you deserve. With that, clerk, please call the roll.
Sorry, the voting system, please cast your vote. That passes unanimously 7-0 with Council President Pro Tem Lacava absent and Councilmember Campbell absent. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'm surprised, but in a good way. We moved through our morning agenda very quickly and efficiently. So we will actually take a non-agenda public comment. Clerk, could you please proceed with that?
Thank you. For Rule 2.7, I'll agenda for the prominence and opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are not on the agenda but within the subject matter jurisdiction of the City Council. Each speaker will have 2 minutes. Please note if there are 8 or more speakers on a single topic, the maximum time for the topic will be 16 minutes. If you're in chambers, please submit your speaker slip. If you're joining us virtually, please raise your hand to speak by tapping the raise your hand icon, or if you're a call-in participant, *9. We'll start with Joyce Inyata. If you can please come forward.
Thank you so much, City Clerk Fuentes. Dear people of San Diego, please take a look at these two bills and see if you approve. Two AI, artificial intelligence bills, are on Governor Newsom's desk to be signed by September 30th of 24. From Google AI, SB 1047 requires developers of the largest AI models to take significant safety measures to mitigate risks to safety that future development of their systems may pose to the public. AB 2013 mandates transparency in the development of generative artificial intelligence AI systems. Thank you, end of quote. Sorry. Dear Governor Newsom, please, please, please sign SB 1047 and AB 2013. The ball is in your court. It's an opportunity for a slam dunk. The world is watching. Yet more important, the people of San Diego and the nation need your leadership in what can be called an historic time for all of us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for consideration. Love to you and your family, and love to all. A great morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Dr. Terry Hoskins. You submitted 2 non-agendas, but you'll have 2 minutes to discuss any matters that you'd like to discuss that are not on the agenda today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I really wasn't going to say anything, but actually, I wanted to mention Vivian and thank her for walking out and taking pictures with the family of Ricky Duran. I thought it was very impressive that all the accolades that he did for our city for a great cause, and I thought it was extremely professional of her to do that. And I'm sure you can see the undertone for that. Second thing is, we're talking about supporting labor unions, and I think that's very important. For me, in case, for those who don't know, I hail from the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. Every one of my family men-wise were underground coal miners. If you weren't a member of the MWA and you crossed the picket line, there was fights all the time. Bats, 2x4s, ugly. So I understand the importance of being in supporting labor, because I do. I was brought that way. Hopefully this council will feel the same when another organization comes in front of you that cannot picket. and that's the San Diego Police Officers Association. So I heard all your remarks, and I think it's important for you to feel that same way. I've sat as a director on the board of directors for the SDPOA, and I know how negotiations goes with the city, and I know how under I think underpaid all of our officers are. So I just hope that when that time comes for the next contract, you will have that same courtesy.
Your time has concluded.
Thank you.
We'll start the 5-minute timer, go to those participating remotely, starting with Lori Saldana. If you can please unmute.
Yes, thank you. I'm a retired union member, a former union carpenter, and a former member of AFT, American Federation of Teachers. I voted in support of unions as a state legislator, and I supported striking workers in the healthcare, retail, and food and hospitality industries by delivering food to workers, making donations to support their efforts, and also meeting and negotiating with employers as a state assembly member to get them better deals in their contracts. All workers in every occupation deserve honest, ethical, and legal representation. They deserve to have leaders who not only speak on their behalf, but speak fully and truthfully and honestly and comply with all applicable laws and codes of conduct. So I will speak up when I read reports when that isn't happening. When I read in the newspaper that leaders in San Diego violated San Diego's lobbying rules, and they've been, members of their household have been fined by failing to report conflicts of interest. I will speak up when labor leaders miss the mark, when they retire with hundreds of thousands of dollars that were not authorized or approved by their members. I appreciate that you want to support labor, but if you do so without understanding that they need oversight by you and others, as well as praise, it will not serve the needs of San Diego, and in fact, it will undermine people's confidence in trusting that those strikes are legitimate. It will potentially undermine their efforts if they see that there are backroom deals taking place that are not in their best interest in the long run. So that's all I'd like to say. Thank you for the resolution today.
Next is the original. If you can please unmute.
Yes, I am wondering how many flights have gone out this morning from the airport that are transporting ICE detainees on our dime, who knows where, right? To and fro, because it's a money laundering operation. But then I just think about, you know, with this invasion and, you know, all the children that have come across unaccompanied, and what's actually happening to them, and how they're being used as, you know, a sexual slave. I mean, they have their organs harvested. Just in, you know, one of the locations where they are housing some of these children out in Lemon Grove, there's 153 sexual predators within 3 miles. And then within 1 mile, there's 142. Interesting, right? And then at these Southwest key locations in other states, and possibly even here, the workers are sexually abusing the children that had come across. And it's very sad to think about. And so I think if you guys really want to know what is going on, to hear it from first account from people, you need to see the movie Trafficked. It's a documentary, and a Border Patrol agent from San Diego who was here for 24 years is making it with another gentleman who is uncovering the child trafficking. If you go to thisistreason.com, and it's called What is Treason? #trafficked. You can even put in a discount code if you want for 15% off, but you'll also get two documentaries, because another one that's coming out is called Invaded. That will be out next month. But you can use discount code AUDRA15, AUDRA15. But I suggest that you watch that movie, because it's whistleblower accounts of our own government and people that are trafficking the children talk about what's actually happening to these kids. And I think it'll change your mind about having open borders and acting like it's having a sanctuary city is good.
Thank you. That concludes your time, and that concludes non-agenda public comment.
Okay. Thank you, Clerk. With that, we'll adjourn the noon race.
My apologies. The timer has not concluded, and somebody.
Okay.
And we have 7234. Please unmute. 7234, I cannot unmute for you. Star 6, there you go.
Good morning, San Diego City Council. I'm Mayor Ela Rivera. I'm a volunteer with the planning group and on many youth projects involving mentoring and tutoring. Yesterday, I came to City Council to respectfully request you support the American Cancer Society in urging Governor Newsom to veto Assembly Bill 1775. This bill would significantly damage long-standing smoke-free and vape-free workplace protections. Because I'm a parent of three adult sons, I am gravely concerned about the uptick in vaping among college and young adult populations. This morning, Health Day reported, and I quote, vaping is harming college students' brains, the study shows. The study was presented at American Neurological Association's annual meeting this week. College students who vape have lower cognitive function scores than those who don't, researchers reported. Students who vape 10 to 20 puffs per day had scores 9% lower than those who did not vape or smoke, while those who vaped more than 20 puffs a day had scores nearly 14% lower, researchers found in. Nicotine caused neurotoxicity that damages brain cells. The risk seems even greater in people who vape because research suggests that with vaping, each puff contains more nicotine than inhaling did. So removing vaping and smoking from marijuana lounges and cafes is even more important for our young adults. Hopefully our city council will be joining the American Cancer Society and urge the governor to veto AB 1775. Thank you for hearing my concerns this morning.
Thank you. That does conclude public comment, non-agenda public comment for this meeting.
All right. Thank you. With that, we will now adjourn to the noon recess and reconvene at 2:00.